Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We made this.
The truth is in here. This is our special Fight the Future Minute podcast. I am your host, Marlene Stimmy. You're listening to our coverage of Minute 100 of the X-Files Fight the Future. This minute begins at 99 minutes with Mulder carrying Scully, who's dressed in his coat, pants, and socks, through the cryopod corridor and ends at minute 99 and 59 seconds with Mulder and Scully climbing up the wall. To discuss this minute, I'm joined by X-Cast patron Michelle Milbauer in her first appearance in Fight the Future Minute. Welcome to Fight the Future Minute, Michelle.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, it's fun to have you. Now, because you're a new guest to Fight the Future Minute, we haven't heard the story of your first Fight the Future viewing. So please tell us when you first saw the movie and what your initial impressions were.
My first viewing of the movie was opening night, an actual midnight showing. I have said on previous podcasts that I grew up in the middle of a cornfield, literally, in western Pennsylvania. So my friend group was aware of the existence of the X-Files, but I didn't have any file friends. So I went to this midnight showing after work by myself. I was a cook at the time. I think I went home long enough to change clothes because I was working the evening shift and then go to the movie theater. So I'm certain I still smelled like hamburgers, but I was so excited to go and I had the opportunity. I think I bought my ticket at the last possible minute that I could. In fact, I may have even purchased it at the movie theater at like 11:50 that night, but I was so excited to go on opening night. It wasn't a sellout, but there were a lot of people in the crowd. And my first impression was that, yeah, I don't know any of these people, but these are clearly my people. So it was a lot of fun. I was so excited being, you know, a super fan. And yeah, it was kind of on the edge of your seat, like logically knew there's going to be a season 6. So nothing detrimental is going to happen to my favorite characters, but still they built enough tension and excitement in the scenes that it was still a roller coaster. And I had a great time with it. Went and bought I think I even bought the novelization afterwards because that's how far gone I was. Read and probably reread and everything else. But yeah, in the movie theater midnight showing, it was loads of fun. And the first time Mulder and Scully appeared on screen and everybody hooped and hollered, it was great. After having been to X-Fest this past year and watching episodes in a group setting, I just think it would be so much fun to get to watch the movie in a setting like that with just a huge room full of like-minded nerds would be so much fun.
I want to right now, just hearing you talk about
it. Yeah, it was just great fun then, and it's still fun now. And I hadn't rewatched in quite some time, and I found myself, like, you know, as soon as the theme, even though it was kind of slowed down and changed a little bit, just as soon as that started happening, like, yes, still love it. Just,
oh, that's great.
It's a lot of fun.
Now, did you go more than once to the theater to see it?
You know what? I don't believe I did, just because, again, I didn't have a foul tribe of friends that would that would go, and so I don't think I saw it in the movie theater more than once. I think I may have wore out a VHS tape or two after it finally was released, because yes, VHS was a thing then, and now, of course, have it on multiple formats. But no, I think I only saw it in the theater once.
That one magical time.
Yeah.
What would you give the movie on a scale of 1 to 10 if you were just to rate it based on however you want to rate it?
Yeah.
You think of it, your emotion, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's by no means a perfect movie. So I can't in good conscience give it a 10, but I'm going to rate it pretty high. I'm thinking 8, just for the fun factor of it. It's just, you know, check your brain at the door through some parts of it, like any episode of The X-Files too. You know, just go with it and have fun, and it's a good ride. So I'm going to say 8. I really enjoy it.
That's great. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead then with minute 100. And as I said at the beginning, this is when Mulder is carrying Scully. Mulder has just gotten Scully out of the cryopod, rescued her, and dressed her in his coat and his pants and put his socks on her. And Cortland and I carried on about the socks. I carried on about the socks for quite a while. And Cortland agreed. And he's carrying her through the cryopod corridor. And they're angling around this suspended cryopod that's swinging in the center of the corridor. I thought that was interesting, too, that they're kind of having to maneuver around that, because you don't really get a full sense of the space and the grandeur of this underground area where they are, I don't think. And, like, things keep coming up that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, I mean, that cryopod that's sort of hanging there in the middle of the aisle seems kind of strange, but then I remember in earlier scenes, it almost seems like they're on tracks, like, suspended from, like, chain-driven tracks or something from the ceiling. But it also seems that they sort of line either side of the corridor. So that one hanging in the middle seemed a little strange. Like, let's make him run an obstacle course while he's, you know, carrying his semi-frozen partner. It seemed a little weird, out of place, but I don't know.
That's what I thought. And then I went back through it. I was like, well, maybe I didn't attend to that in all of the drama of the rescue. But it was like they were all lined up on the sides, and then they had that one that was in the middle. So that was kind of interesting that he gets her out, and they have one, you know, yet another impediment to their escape. Okay, so they go to the end of the corridor, and there's a kind of a huge cylindrical area that's opening upward, and the camera or viewing angle is looking upward from the ground with Mulder and Scully sort of off to the side. And I thought that was a really interesting way to film that, because it just looks like this bright light at the end of this very long tunnel, which is very much like what we saw when Mulder had fallen through the ice and was crawling toward the bright light when he fell to kind of get in there. So I thought that was a good visual.
Yeah, the cinematography in here is definitely interesting. They use some different sort of unexpected camera angles, I think. And sure, in part is to give an idea of the vastness of the area that they're in. Because in some respects, it seems really claustrophobic. And then you get other shots where it just seems immeasurably large.
Yeah, that's a great point. And then the next shot is the reverse, and it's sort of shining down on Mulder and Scully from the light from above. And Scully's awake and alert, but doesn't really have, she looks a little bit stunned, as you would if you'd come out of a cryopod coma, I guess. And both Mulder and Scully are looking up. Mulder looks very daunted, so there's this expression on his face that you just really see the weight of this task ahead of them, I think. And that's one of the shots that looks more claustrophobic, because it almost looks like they're in a small enclosure rather than a big expanse.
You get the first of many glimpses at Mulder's panic face again, to reference the earlier scene. He spends a good amount of time inside this cryopod den wearing his panic face.
It's true. That's very true. And it's, you know, jokingly said earlier, but it really sets in. It's far. So Mulder sets Scully down so that she can climb ahead of him. And they start climbing, and then we switch to a shot outside the base station, and men are running to their snowplows, and the cigarette-smoking man jumps into the passenger seat of one plow and sort of stares ahead for a moment, which is something that he does quite often, as he seems to be, you know, contemplating whatever's going on, I guess, but he looks ahead, and then they drive off. So we're going back and forth between Mulder and Scully and the action of the people outside, and so everybody's basically abandoning the ship.
CSM is just our all-purpose bad guy. He is everywhere, all the time, up to no good, everywhere he's at. Like, how did he get down there? A separate flight from Mulder? Like, how many trips are going to Antarctica? I mean, he's everywhere. Multi-purpose, has that portal to Antarctica. He's our all-purpose bad guy. And
it's kind of a portal to hell, I guess, in a way, with him there.
Yeah. Very, very cold. Yeah. He calls the shots on everything, doesn't he? Antarctic, and you know. Cryopod generation alien factory, whatever's happening down there, he's gonna be ruling the roost up there too, and he's the one that says, okay, we gotta go. Which surprises me that he bothered to, like, try and get everybody else out of there. Normally he's all about me, like, make sure I get my Snoke-addled self out of here, and everybody else, well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
He seems to try and make sure most of them go.
I expected him when he got in the snowplow. I was waiting for the moment of him lighting a cigarette, but he didn't.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity.
I thought so as well. I would add that in if we could, like, maybe do an insert at that point.
Yeah. Somebody do some graphic design. Draw one in there.
Right. A little floating cigarette. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. These are good suggestions.
Yeah.
Put this together. So Mulder and Scully continue their climb, and we see them from a top-down shot. So they're just continuing to climb this wall. And it really doesn't look to me that this wall has a lot of grip possibility for them. I've noticed, like, I pay attention to that every time. It doesn't look like there's a lot of handholds and so forth. Now, I'm not adept in any way in climbing, but it just doesn't seem like something.
Yeah, no. I mean, even the kids. Scale. Even the kids, like, rock wall climbing things that are at, like, different gyms and stuff seem to have a better handhold and foothold options than that wall did, but...
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
Then we're going to see a very close-up shot of a cryopod with green liquid that is circulating and kind of draining, and there's something gestating inside it, and very eerie music is playing. So now, instead of going from Mulder and Scully climbing up the wall, the impossible wall, to the outside... with everyone evacuating, we're going from Mulder and Scully climbing out to back inside with the aliens inside, gestating inside the cryopods.
I was really impressed with how well that effect held up. Being this many years later, you would think that, you know, a lot of the special effects and digital effects and everything have improved so vastly that that would look really bad or dated or just cheesy. But it's, in my opinion, anyway, it was still really effective and kind of disconcerting to see that thing kind of swimming around in there, trying to figure its way out.
I think that's part of it is the, I mean, I guess it's like a weird sort of type of body horror with, because it's in a body, right? It's an alien that's in, just sitting in a body. Mm-hmm. And that tends to always, like, I don't think ever loses its creep factor through the ages. And I think, too, that they didn't show the whole alien. They didn't have something like just face on, you know, where like, oh, here's an alien. It was more... images of it or like edges of it and things like that.
So hints really of it.
Exactly.
Where it's kind of, you're looking at it through an ice pod, through what's left of the poor host body. So it's sort of blurred purposefully. So you get enough of an idea of, okay, something bad is happening here, but not full on. So it looks cartoony.
Right. Right. And you'll see like a hand that's ripping through something inside one of the bodies or like hear these sounds, but you don't see the whole thing. So I think just in general, in film, things hold up better when they're not fully shown in that way.
Right.
And I think that that's something that they tried to do with the movie as well, maybe going from this idea of revealing a full alien and making it as obvious as it could be and scary as it could be. They went to have it be sort of something that you had to create in your mind. So I'm still creating it when we see it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So Mulder and Scully continue to climb, and it goes from the creepy interior alien music to this very staccato nervous music of them climbing up the wall.
The one thing that I thought is not so much at first viewing, because I think I was so drawn in to everything that was happening and the drama of the scene and everything else happening there. But upon rewatches, one thing that stood out to me was that would, I mean, not that that wall would be easy to climb under any circumstances, but you're essentially carrying dead weight beside you. Like, so you're climbing with one arm. Wouldn't it have been easier to kind of piggyback and kind of have her on his back to then he has both of his arms, assuming she has the ability to hold on?
I think that that's an excellent question, because I have wondered about that, because he's kind of like almost outside of her, having to kind of hold her and boost her up a little bit.
Right. So he's carrying his weight plus essentially hers. Now, she's a little tiny person, but even still, it was very awkward.
And I think in climbing, aren't you supposed to keep your body, like your weight is supposed to be as close to the surface as possible? Probably.
That seems like, logical. Like, you would want back heavy. Strength. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be hard having another person. But I also wonder... That is a good question, though. I wonder if having her on his back would have, like, shifted the weight balance and maybe pulled them backwards.
Yeah.
I remember this one time that I had, like, a full backpack on my back, and then I had a little tiny day backpack on top of that, and I could barely walk through the airport. And when I adjusted the little tiny day pack, it balanced the weight better. So that's the only comparison that I have to this.
Right.
But I just imagine if she were on his back, she'd have to actively be like able to move her body weight forward. I don't know if she could do that. So.
Yeah. I mean, either way, it's not going to be an easy endeavor. I'm just thinking trying to climb with one arm and hold her with the other.
Other arm. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would need both, like, all of his limbs available for that. I wonder how that would have looked as well.
Yeah. I mean, it probably not as.
All right, though.
Depending on their camera angle.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah. I mean, 20-some-odd years later, I suppose it really is.
I don't know that they would do, like, a refilm this for us so that we could see.
Yeah, yeah. I doubt it. And I'm not prepared to volunteer to, you know, Mythbuster this and, you know, test to see if this works better than that.
Right.
But just one of those things that sort of stuck out to me. Like, that seems really awkward. Although I suppose piggyback would have been just different awkward.
It's a good question. I can see pluses and minuses to either of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have anything else to say about this particular minute? I mean, it's mainly for Mulder and Scully walking, or him carrying and climbing, and then people outside getting away, and the people inside getting, or the aliens inside getting out.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then, that's all for this Fight the Future minute. We will be back next time for minute 101, for which I will once again be joined by Michelle. Michelle, in the meantime, where can our listeners follow you on social media?
I am on Twitter at mmbaker13. I've been doing a little bit better to not being a lurker, so I'm having fun over there. And occasionally I'm on the Facebook X-Files Basement group, either of those places, but Twitter is probably the better place to find me.
Okay, and you're doing an interesting project, or you've done an interesting project recently, watching the IMDb ranked best and worst X-Files episodes as well, right?
Yeah, I completed a rewatch of the highest rated IMDb episodes, and that was a lot of fun, and I got a lot of fun interaction on Twitter, so I enjoyed that. So I decided to be a glutton for punishment and start a rewatch of the lowest rated episodes per IMDb. And as we've seen with other things, IMDb ratings are interesting at best. So, so far I've only done one of the worst episodes per IMDb, and that was season one's Space, which was also just kind of fun to rewatch that way. And so I will be going through those episodes through season 11 and then maybe pull some options for a different rewatch game, we'll call it. So yeah, it's been fun. Interesting way of going through episodes, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I am on Twitter at MarleneMHS and on Facebook in the XCast Basement group, where we are still voting on the elimination rounds of some of the X-Files seasons, which has been a lot of fun. And cathartic as well, I might add. So that's going to do it for us right now. Until next time, trust no one.
Elsewhere on We Made This. Life's milestones.
Whenever it was that there was that census where there was the campaign to try and get everybody to say that their religion was Jedi.
Oh, I remember it well. I think I did put Jedi, to be honest.
Yeah, well I was adamant that I really wanted to put that down because it aligns a lot more with my beliefs than anything else. You know, Star Wars has always been there for me. But yeah, that's when my mum was saying, no, we had you christened, and I ended up losing that one. And then when I lived on my own for a later census, I just, by that point, just put non-religious.
I'm in a band podcast.
Flaming Lips did a gig and they were all in bubbles. So the whole band, you know them big bubbles you get that you play football in? Mm. The whole band were in them and all the people in the crowd were in one of them.
I'd go to the gig with a pin and fucking ruin everyone's evening.
Then you need a big pin.
Then you have to get out of your bubble first with your pin. They're going to see you.
You have a bubble with a pin on it. Or what? You're like a sea urchin just going around causing chaos.
Rolling around.
Could you have a fag in them?
I suppose you could get your own bubble, innit?
Frame to frame.
So, Sean, have you got anything further you wanted to say on the two films that we've looked at this week?
I think they're both overlooked gems, and anyone who hasn't seen them needs to go and check them out pronto. Enough said.
I agree with you. We could have also called the theme for this week Nerdy White Guy Tries to Find Love.
But are you having a go at me there?
No, I'm just saying.
Because I bore my heart when talking about The Way Way Back. I thought you were having a pop at me there.
No, absolutely not. I'm just saying that that's what we could have called the theme for this week.
I mean, we could have done. It could have been like, you know, podcaster recalls painful memory of riding bike in front of girl.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.